So by now, by the somewhat unreliable grace of the U.S. Postal Service, I think some of you have gotten my stewardship letter asking you to make a financial pledge to the church for 2022. But you'll be happy to hear today, I'm not preaching the stewardship sermon. Maybe I'm actually preaching the anti-stewardship sermon. In any case, this gospel story, which pops up in the lectionary in what has become a stewardship season for many churches, has often been used as a stewardship illustration, right? Not necessarily give till it hurts, but see, if this poor woman can give all she had, can't you give more? But despite that history, this story is terrible. Yes, there's something to be said for sacrificial giving, though not coerced sacrificial giving. You ever notice how those who have are quick to counsel those who have not to do more, give more, do without more? Anyway, I don't think this passage is about giving more than you think you can, than you should. It's certainly not about giving your last thin dime to the church. My goodness, who would ask you to do that? Not Jesus, that's for sure. It's not actually a good financial stewardship story at all. So what is it good for? What is this story about? Well, as always, it's instructive to look at the context of our passage. According to Mark, before Jesus got to this point, he pretty pointedly skewered Roman pomp and circumstance by processing into Jerusalem on a donkey. He had raged against money changers doing business in the temple. He'd outright refused to justify his authority to the religious leaders. He'd flummoxed those same leaders on the question of taxes, calling them out with a withering parable about a vineyard and a murdered son. He'd showed them up on the question of resurrection and confounded them with riddles about his Davidic ancestry. And all this while teaching in the temple. Then Jesus said, and I'm quoting from the Message translation here, he said, "Watch out for the religious scholars. They love to walk around in academic gowns, preening in the radiance of public flattery, basking in prominent positions, sitting at the head of the table at every church function. And all at the same time, they are exploiting the weak and helpless. The longer their prayers, the worse they get. But they'll pay for it in the end." Ouch. After that, Jesus took a seat with a prime view of the treasury and watched while some rich people put in large sums. Then, and again from the Message, he said, we hear that a poor woman came up and put in two small coins. A measly 2 cents. Jesus called his disciples over and said, "The truth is that this poor woman gave more to the collection than all the others put together. All the others gave what they'll never miss. She gave extravagantly what she couldn't afford. She gave her all." So here's a question. Did you hear Jesus say, "This woman gave her all, go and do likewise"? No, you didn't hear it because he didn't say it. Although, remember, he had earlier, right, told a rich young man to sell all he had and give the money to the poor. So I wonder if Jesus, rather than saying, "Be like this widow," is just telling it like it is. It's really hard for people who have a lot to give up what they have. They grow too in love, frankly, with their wealth and their privilege. Those rich people in the temple, they gave a lot, but it didn't cost them a lot. The poor woman, on her own, in a society that didn't value her, and ours is not so different today. Her giving her last 2 cents to the temple was perhaps an act of grace or an act of defiance, or perhaps an act of despair. Maybe, just maybe, it was an act of hope that God, through the temple authorities, would provide for her. And oh, I hope they did. But we don't know. And we have no reason to think they would. For didn't Jesus just accuse them of devouring widows' houses? I don't know exactly what that means, but it's not good. Either by mismanagement or outright theft, the authorities brought to ruin those they were charged with caring for. Where does that leave us? So I don't know if you saw it. There was an article in the Times this past week about grocery delivery services in the city that promise that orders will arrive within 15 minutes. I mean, how often do you really need your groceries in 15 minutes or less? Well, I've been thinking about that, you know, because for one, I've noticed more delivery people on motorized bikes on the sidewalk. I've been thinking about how we as a society spend our money, about our need not only for gratification, but instant gratification. We want immediate delivery and TV and movies on demand. Just think about that phrase. We have become, as a society, awfully demanding. We want what we want and we want it now. And it seems that we really don't care about the cost. And not just the financial cost, but the cost to our communities, to our planet, to our very beings. It makes me think, what do we spend our resources on? What do I spend my resources on? Because we don't, apparently, or the officials we've elected anyway, don't want to spend resources to help others get what they need, much less what they want. You know, I think of all the well-paid politicians and media pundits saying, people are lazy, they don't want to work, they'd rather collect unemployment. Well, yeah, maybe people would rather collect unemployment benefits than work a crappy job for crappy wages. And yes, maybe we all have to pay more and want and wait longer, rather, for goods that harm the planet less, harm our neighbors less. Maybe we have to want less. But even those who are not wealthy, not even close, have been brainwashed, it seems, to want things, whether we need them or not. Oh, we are a nation of good consumers. The crazy thing is, we are also generous. In 2020, donations flooded in to organizations, especially those that support COVID-19 relief and those that do racial justice work. Americans apparently gave a record $471 billion to charity last year. Maybe some give for the tax write-off for the public relations boost. But I think most of us give because we have big hearts. Maybe even those show-offy scribes had big hearts. They cared. But even as they gave money, they were supporting an unjust system. just like us. We give to our churches, to worthy causes, but we don't make the leap to demanding social policies that can actually help people lead better lives, be less reliant on charity. So charitable giving can become another way of consuming. We choose who gets our help, what cause gives us a good feeling to support. We can become charity consumers. But it's been noted that in biblical terms, the word for consume means to waste or burn away. To consume literally means to burn up. What are we burning up with our constant consuming? And who are we leaving behind? Okay, so maybe this is a stewardship sermon. In the sense that we all have been given gifts by God. Time, talents, and treasure, as we like to say in the church. Things that we are asked to be stewards of. Not to use, for ourselves alone, but for the common good. And we have to decide how to use them. As our world becomes increasingly interconnected, or maybe as we become more aware of connections that have always been there, our choices become more complex. The thing is, the time will come for all, for each one of us, when we are all like the widow. When no matter who we are or how much we have amassed, we are down to the last of our resources, and all we have left is God. I like to think that poor widow had already given her all to God, and that's why she could easily give away those last pennies. I like to think we will already have given our all to God before our time comes. Jesus was calling out religious figures who were encouraging poor people like widows to give and give and give to the temple. He called out a corrupt religious system that no longer honored God's call to care for the needy and those who taught the law of God, but didn't practice that law. That's why when one of his disciples will exclaim at the grandeur of the temple, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings," Jesus will see, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." That's why, in fact, before long, he will be killed. The pillars of institutional and political power joining forces to get rid of this problematic rabbi. I don't think we're supposed to be like the widow. I think we're supposed to be like Jesus, to watch with him, to see what he sees. With him, we notice the well-heeled showily give to charity, even though it costs them so little compared to the huge amounts they've amassed. And often they've amassed it through unjust practices. They call on the poor to sacrifice while they have more than enough. We should notice them. We should call them out. But we should also watch with Jesus and see the people we don't usually see. The people we don't really want to see, like the widow. See her, care for her, advocate for her, for this widow and for all those who get pushed aside and overlooked and become collateral damage of policies and practices that favor the wealthy and ignore the poor at best, trample them underfoot at worst. Yeah, we should all want less, share more. We should all give to the church and charities. But we should also call for the church, this church, small c, and the church universal, and for society, for our government, for our country. We should demand, in fact, that they stand up for justice, stand with the poor and with the unseen and undervalued. And luckily, you have that power. You are the church. It's fantastic. You can do it. And God will be with you. God will be with us all. Thanks be to God. Amen.